Warning, the following podcast may prove to be informative and educational, but it is guaranteed to be entertaining. Welcome to Trivial Warfare, the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. Now here's your host, Jonathan Oakes.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name's Jonathan, and I'm here today with Ben.
How's it going, man?
Ben, it's kind of quiet in here. It's just me and you.
Yeah, it's kind of unusual. I feel a little uncomfortable, actually.
Well, it's because I was touching you.
I'm sure that'll come up with my therapist next week.
I'll stop for the rest of the game.
I appreciate that.
But maybe later. And we're here with Dan, who's glad he's not in the room with us right now. Hey, Dan.
How are you guys doing today?
Oh, we are fantastic, man. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. And you're right. I am glad I am not there right now.
Well,
I'll take the snow any day.
You'd rather have the snow than the touching? I'm hurt.
You just be hurt. That's fine.
This shouldn't be anything new to you as a Minnesota guy. You should be used to snow like this.
No, it's new to North Carolina. That's the problem. They can't handle it. It was a dusting. So we're going to be out of school for like 3 days because of that.
My goodness. Hopefully by the time this airs, you guys will be back in school and no problems.
There's not much going on up here at all right now. I'm in Locust, you know. You've been here. There's not a whole lot going on.
Locust. So, Dan, you're joining us from Locust, North Carolina, which is about, 20 to 30 minutes outside of Charlotte. Yeah. When you say it's shut down, I'm sure in Locust it really is shut down.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah, whenever your town is named after a plague, you know that there's probably not a whole lot going on there. Just saying.
Oh, I don't know.
I found out the other day that it is actually named after a tree, the locust tree.
Oh.
I would have never known that, and it's like my job to come up with stuff like that when I'm doing trivia all this time, so I have no idea why I didn't know that.
I have heard of a locust tree. I never really thought about it, though.
Yeah, there's a tree on our water tower. It should have been the first hint, but I don't know why.
You know, it's funny. I just pictured a water tower with a big bug on it, a big locust on it, you know? That's awesome.
That'll drive that tourism up.
Exactly. It's like, let's go visit Bug City. Actually, you guys should totally come up with something called Bug City. People in charge admission for it. People would go.
I'll get right on that.
You can have
like in your tour shop, you have like cans of Raid in your tour shop that people can bring back from Bug City. It'd be awesome.
This is authentic Bug City Raid.
That's right.
That's right.
Made here.
Says it on the label.
That's right.
All right, Ben, you are standing in for Chris in today's episode, and it is time, my friend, to warm us up.
What up, Chris?
I'm about to.
What up, Chris?
That's what I was born into.
All right, so today... We could have talked through the intro about the snafu with the questions, but I guess we'll get to it as we go. Our warm it up Christian is blah, 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 our warm it up Christian.
Our warm it up Christian. We brought in a Christian specifically to warm us up today.
Our warm it up Chris question was supplied by one of our listeners, David Raffetto.
All right. David is a recent lieutenant colonel in the Trivial Warfare
Terrific.
Army. Yes.
Terrific. So want to definitely shout out David for the question. Thank you very much. And he's provided some other questions we're going to read today as well.
Excellent.
So here's your Warm It Up Chris question.
Or your Warm It Up Christian.
Or your Warm It Up Christian. 9 American writers have won the Nobel Prize for Literature.
Lord have mercy.
I want you guys to name as many of them as you can.
Okay. Who's going first?
Let's let the guests go first. Dan.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, the first one that jumps to mind is one that I should really save till later, but I'm going to have to throw it out there because I can't think of anybody else right now. Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan is on the list.
All right. I'm going to go with Ernest Hemingway.
Ernest Hemingway is on the list.
How about Mitchell? Gone with the Wind?
Mitchell is not on the list.
I'm going to go with John Steinbeck.
John Steinbeck is on the list.
All right. How about F. Scott Fitzgerald?
Fitzgerald, not on the list.
I am doing awesome today.
You are. This is a good sign. Hey. I'm feeling good about this.
All right, Jonathan?
I'm going to go with Toni Morrison.
Toni Morrison, on the list. Jonathan is on fire.
That's the end of my fire. I'm officially embers now.
Okay. All right, Dan.
Oh, man. Did Faulkner ever win it?
William Faulkner, on the list.
On the list. As soon as you said it, I was like, oh, no, Faulkner. I forgot Faulkner. I would have definitely gone Faulkner before Morrison from a game theory perspective. There's one I'm trying to think of, and I can't think of the guy's name right now. He's the guy who did the Rabbit series. Updike. I'm going to go Updike.
Oh.
Updike, not on the list.
Oh, it's Pulitzer's or something then. Oh, I thought he won the Nobel.
I'm so glad you said that, because as soon as you said Rabbit, I had Updike going, and that wasn't right. So it doesn't mean that I'm going to get the next one, though. I am mind farting right now.
That's a new one.
Mind farting.
It's a minefield. Farts.
I am not coming up with anybody. Let's go with someone recent. Did Crichton ever do it?
I'm going to guess no.
Is that your answer, Crichton?
Well, I asked if he did it. If you're not going to give me the answer.
Yeah, that's definitely his answer, by the way.
Crichton is not on the list. All right, let's give you guys, after you, we'll do one more round after Jonathan's round.
I'm going to do another round. Thanks a lot.
Take a stab. Maya Angelou.
Maya Angelou is not on the list.
Oh, darn it. See, so Dan, it's got to be somebody after 1900. It's got to be somebody in the last century. Because Nobel wasn't around before that.
No, he was not. I hate to tap out this early. I cannot even think of anybody else right now. So this is, like you said, this bodes really well for you, Jonathan.
This is a great opportunity to give a funny answer if you don't have a real one. So
It was Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss is not on the list.
Well, that would not have been. Wouldn't have been out of the realm of possibility.
No, you're right. That's actually a pretty good answer.
That's a good answer. All right, Jonathan, can you give us one more? You've already won, but you want to put some icing on the cake?
There's a level of pretentiousness with Nobel Prizes for Literature, but I'm going to name a guy, and I think he's won a Nobel Prize for Literature. I don't know if he's American, but the thing about Americans is we can have really Hispanic names and other kinds of names. So I'm going to guess Umberto Eco.
Umberto Eco is not on the list.
All right. All right. Well, who is on the list?
So you guys named a lot of the more recent winners, Bob Dylan, Toni Morrison, Steinbeck, Hemingway, and Faulkner. The other names on the list are Sinclair Lewis.
Oh, the Jungle.
I never heard of him.
That's Upton Sinclair. I can never remember which ones are which with Upton Sinclair versus Sinclair Lewis. And then Lewis Carroll jumps in there, too. These people, they're all mixed
up. For no reason whatsoever.
Was the Lewis. His name is Lewis.
Eugene O'Neill.
Okay. Never heard of him.
That one makes sense.
Female author Pearl Buck.
The Good Earth?
The Good Earth. I read that in high school.
Oh!
And T.S. Eliot.
Really?
T.S. Eliot.
Well, you know, those are all really well-known writers there. Yeah.
And that concludes your Warm It Up Chris question of the episode.
I have a high degree of shame, Dan.
I never claim to know literature very well, so.
All right, now.
I like to say it, but that's about it.
Now for your special all literature episode, Ben has prepared for us. No, it is today, since we only have three people. It is a head-to-head. It is Dan Lundberg versus Jonathan Oakes with Ben Young asking the questions, and it is time to play the game.
Time to play the game!
Here's how it works. Our game is 6 rounds long, 3 questions per round, and each question is worth 10 points. There will be a midpoint question after round 3 that's worth 20 points. And when we get to the final question at the end of the game, you will be able to wager any or all of what you've earned throughout the game. If you're playing along at home, you can pause the game after each question to give yourself a chance to think about an answer before listening to us. All right, guys,
Let's get started. So, Dan, this is we don't get the opportunity to do head-to-heads that often, but I know you. And I was telling Ben before this show that I think Dan is just a little bit better than I am. I think Dan is probably about 20 points better than I am on average. So we're going to see if I can make up that ground today.
I think the podcast takes 20 points off the score, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it does mine, too. So that doesn't help. Okay. I'm in this podcast, too, you know.
Nice.
All right, Ben.
Okay, so your first question of the first round, the category is history. This question was brought to us by Brendan Crowley. He emailed me this question, so I want to say thank you, Brendan, for sending in the question.
Or as I like to call him, Mr. Crowley. Down, down, down.
So there's that. Okay, so here's your question. The United States famously had a Cold War with the USSR. What does the USSR stand for?
I'm locked in.
Okay. I think it is the United Socialist... which one? What's the order? I think it's United Soviet Socialist Republic. But it might be the United Socialist Soviet Republic. Or it might be completely different words. I'm going to go with the United Soviet Socialist Republic. That's my answer.
All right.
I seem to remember there being an of in there, so I actually went with Union of Soviet Socialist Republics.
Oh, crap.
All right. The correct answer is Union of Soviet Socialist Republics.
Oh, God, it's been so long. I can't believe I just missed what the USSR is. That would have been like, you know, like really easy 20 years ago. And now I freaking missed it. Oh,
could
boy.
Could have stepped up the difficulty and asked what CCCP meant. That would have been.
Oh, I can't pronounce those words. Yeah.
I think the P is actually R, too, in that one. So
it is an R, yep.
Yeah.
I think so. I thought it was United as well. And I had to double check the answer. So I actually had to verify to make sure that it was correct because I thought it was United as well.
I am appalled that I just missed that question. That was something that really should have been gotten.
Yeah. Well, you know, don't be appalled. Just be a Jonathan.
No.
I can be a Ben. You can be a Dan.
No. A Ben actually is a word. A Ben, I know.
I'm trying to make it fun, okay? Jeez.
Okay. Jeez, guys.
Round one. Second question is in cars.
All right.
You're in my car. I feel safest of all. Sorry. every time Cars comes up.
In Cars. Doo-doo.
Yeah. Doo-doo-doo. I can tell right now this is going to be a fun episode. I can feel it. All right. Cars. You got to feel it. What was the best-selling sedan in the United States in 2015?
Ooh. You love Cars questions.
I try to ask them.
You ask them regularly.
I'm not a Cars person per se, but I like to ask Cars questions, and I like to watch shows about Cars.
All right, I've written my answer down. I'm locked in.
For the longest time.
For the longest time.
We are going to go about 2.5 hours on this episode today. For a long time, it was the Honda Civic was up there for a long time, but I think Toyota took it over. I'm trying to remember what the big Toyota was, and then Nissan was always up in there too. Whether it was like the Altima or the Sentry, the Toyota I'm thinking of is the one that all the NASCAR stock cars are, the ones that are Toyotas right now. And why can't I think of what it's called? There's the Corolla. Is that it? I think I'm going to lock in with the Toyota Corolla.
Okay.
All right.
I believe the Toyota Corolla is like the number one selling car of all time from volume historically because it's been around for so long. I'm relatively confident that the number one and two sedan sales for a very long time now have been the Honda Accord and the Toyota Camry. I went with a Toyota Camry.
That's what I was trying to think of. I could not come up with that.
All right. The correct answer is Toyota Camry.
Yeah. Back on the board.
Dum, 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 da, 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 dum. I love that song, by the way.
Love. I'm a big Billy Joel fan from way back.
Would kind of have to be from way back, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey.
There's that kind of a default there. All right. Your next question is in music.
Music.
Yeah. Jimmy Smaller's got to pull it up.
So Ben has his questions in like four different places right now.
It's just so you know. Hardcore, man. It's hardcore.
He just, that snafu right now.
Yeah. He slept in.
Yeah, I slept in today. I overslept, so I didn't have time to organize it properly. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to sing, or I'm going to quote some song lyrics to you.
Oh, no, you should sing it.
And I want you, I'm not going
to
sing it.
You just said you were going
to
sing it.
I'm going to quote song lyrics to you. I want you to name the artists.
All right.
Okay. Here are your song lyrics. I don't want your number. I don't want to give you mine. I don't want to meet you nowhere.
I think I know the next line.
I don't want none of your time.
I did know the next line.
So again, name the artist.
None of that is ringing a bell with me at all.
That's a shame because I'm locked in.
I'm thinking it's about, obviously it's about some girl that does not want anything to do with the dude that's talking to her. So I'm just kind of going that direction with this. The one that immediately comes to mind, and I think it's going to be the one that I'm going to have to go with, is You in Your Hand by Pink. I'm going to bet that's not right, but we're going to go with that. I'm going to lock in with Pink.
All right.
That's not a bad answer for what you can tell answer, from the lyrics.
It's the wrong answer, but it's not a bad
one. So this one goes, no, I don't want your number. No, I don't want to give you mine. And no, I don't want to meet you nowhere. No, don't want none of your time. I don't want no scrubs. This is TLC.
Correct answer is TLC. Yeah, I had to switch that song around because I always thought the title of the song was Scrubs. It's actually No Scrubs. I didn't want to cause controversy, so I kind of anti-Suhas that question and said, give me the artist instead.
All right. After the first round, Jonathan has a lead, 20 to 10.
Oh, snap.
I'll be back on the board.
Round two,
question one. Your category is science.
Science!
And TV.
And TV!
Bum, bum, ba-dum.
All right. The title screen for Breaking Bad.
Oh, you and your Breaking Bad questions! Featured you!
Can I finish the question now?
Might as well.
The title screen for Breaking Bad features elements from the periodic table that make up the first two letters of each word. What are the elements used here?
I think I'm going to lock in.
Okay. I've never watched an episode of Breaking Bad, but logically, I can assume that it's going to be one of three elements. It's either going to be a B, a BR, or a BA. I think BR might be boron, and I think BA might be barium. I have no idea right now what B by itself might be. Usually the single letter elements are near the top, and I'm just not picturing it right now. So I'm just going to have to hope that my other ones are right. I'm going to go with boron and barium.
All right. I am now second guessing whether or not there's one or two letters squared on the one. But boron is B. I'm pretty sure. Boron
is crap. I'm screwed because I'm pretty sure it's BR that's done.
Yeah. I went with barium and bromine.
Okay.
Or bromine, or however that's pronounced. And it's...
So, boron is B. The correct answers to the question are bromine and barium.
Doggone it! Oh! Right. So much for that lead.
One of these times we're both going to get it right.
One of these days.
One sweet day.
Yep. Okay.
One of these nights!
All right. The second question in the round is in the category of Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
I've been practicing that accent. It's still not very good.
It's because it's Harry. Harry!
Harry Potter. All right. I've been practicing pronunciations of this, okay? Oops. I've never seen the books or the movies.
I've read them each once, and it was when they came out, so it's been a while.
Okay. All right. Who did Hermione take to Slughorn's Christmas party? FYI, for the listeners, I had no idea how to pronounce Hermione. I actually had to Google it. I'm like, I'm not messing this up. Y'all, I'm not going to be sending me hate mail.
The first time I read the first book, the word that came through, I'm like, Hermione?
Yeah, I said Hermione.
And then I said to myself, no, there's no way her name is Hermione. And I looked it up. Because I didn't want to put that in my head forever.
Oh, man.
I know. That's a deep cut.
All right. For lack of anything better to do, I'm going to lock in.
Okay. So the first thing you would think is it might be Harry, but Harry was also in Slughorn's club, so Hermione wouldn't have needed to invite Harry. The other obvious choice would be Ron, but I feel like this was happening in one of those periods where Ron and Hermione were fighting. And so I think I remember a scene in the book. I don't even know if this scene is in the movie, but I think I remember a scene in the book where Slughorn meets Neville Longbottom and is interested because the Longbottoms are a well-regarded family, but then realizes that Neville's an idiot and ignores him for the rest of his life. So I put Neville Longbottom.
Oh, that's a good answer. That's a really good answer. Yeah, this is from Half-Blood Prince, easy for me to say. And I want to say that it was right around then that Ron and Hermione kind of started having those feelings. So I went with Ron, but it would not surprise me at all if Neville's the right answer to this. So right. I locked in with Ron.
The correct answer is Cormac McLaggen.
Oh, my God.
Or Cormac. It's one of those
Cormac,
three.
Cormac, the deepest of the deep cuts. Holy crap.
I apologize. I had no
idea.
If
you were to have said, who is that character and what series of books is he from, I wouldn't even have gotten that. I know. I think he was at Lord of the Flies somewhere.
Cormac ends up being like this guy who she's trying to avoid forever and ever because he's interested in her and she thinks he's an insufferable bore kind of thing. He's not a major. He's a minor character. Oh, crap.
Duly noted.
I never thought in a million years it could have been him. But frankly, I shouldn't have remembered it, you know? But it's a fine question. It's a legitimate. It's not a, okay. It's not a bad question at all.
Okay.
You just have to remember who she took. Doggone it. I thought I had gotten it. I thought I was being smart. All right.
All right.
Both missed that.
So your last question in the round is Dan's favorite category, literature.
Literature.
I like the way he does
it. He does it very well. I like that. Okay.
I started doing that up in our pub quizzes up here long before I'd even listened to this show. And it has caught on. I mean, everyone in the town does it now. Anytime literature comes up.
That's great. I love it.
Cool.
All right. So I'm going to read you an excerpt from a poem. And I want you to tell me who the author is.
All right.
What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun? Or fester like a sore and then run? Who's the author?
I'm locked in.
Yeah. Ben, could you read that one more time for me, please?
Yes. What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun? Or fester like a sore and then run?
Wow. The only thing that's sticking out to me there is the raisin in the sun, which there's no way in the world that's right. I don't know why I'm even thinking this.
You want the author, right? The author.
Yeah, yeah, he wants the author.
And you're right. A Raisin in the Sun is not the author.
Well, obviously. And I'm having, to be honest with you, I'm having a hard time coming up with the author of A Raisin in the Sun right now as well, which shouldn't surprise anybody who's been listening so far to this last part of this podcast. But I don't think it is from A Raisin in the Sun anyway. So I'm going to throw out a poet and hope it sticks. I'm going to go with Keats.
All right. So I'm taking a chance. I think it is from A Raisin in the Sun. I think that's where it gets its name. And I went with Langston Hughes.
Correct answer is Langston Hughes.
I wasn't coming up with Langston Hughes, but at least I was on the right track.
Harlem Renaissance, baby.
Yep.
All right. We did some flip-flopping in that round. You started strong. I finished strong. We ended up in the same place as we were. It is now 30-20 with Jonathan in the lead after two rounds.
All right.
All right. Your third category begins with a third round. Blah, 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 blah. We're going to edit all of this out.
No, that's staying. that's staying in now.
All right. Your third round begins with a category in food. And I would like to credit Lee DeGeorge, a good friend of the program, with this question.
Of course, Lee's asking a food question. Dude knows so much about food. It is ridiculous.
All right. What food is present in sushi, but not present in sashimi?
I'm locked in.
No.
It doesn't help to know that I have a degree in culinary arts, does it?
Do you really?
I do, yeah. I was a chef in a former life.
Oh, my goodness. The things you learn on a podcast.
That's very interesting.
I know. So I know that sashimi is the one that has the fish across the top. And I know that sushi is the one that you find in rolls of seaweed and rice. I don't ever eat sashimi. Ever. I've never had a piece. I can't bring myself to do it. I can eat sushi just fine. But the big piece of raw fish sitting across the top is a big turnoff for me. So I'm leaning towards it being either the seaweed, which you use to wrap the roll with, or the rice itself, which you cover the seaweed with, in a lot of different rolls. Because the big hunk of fish on top is covering it, I don't see either of those in my mind's eye. But if you didn't have the seaweed, I think the food would lack the integrity to stay together as a roll. So I'm going to guess that it's the rice. And that's my answer.
All right.
Wow, you backed your way into that answer. And it's not even right the way you did it, but you got the right answer. It is rice.
baby!
Woo! Nigiri is the stuff that you're thinking of. It's a ball of rice with the fish sitting over the top of it. Sashimi is just the fish, just the raw fish.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In order for it to be sushi, it actually has to have rice.
Yes.
So the difference is between sushi and sashimi is the rice.
Correct answer is rice.
Nice. I can't believe
you backed your way into that like that.
I have a reputation to uphold here. Right.
So the interesting thing is you were talking through that. Not all sushi has seaweed. I had cucumber rolls recently. No seaweed, just rice and cucumber.
Actually, most don't.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that we see does. But yeah, most of it's just the rice rolled.
Yep.
And the rice itself is sticky. That
is real sticky. Yeah.
It keeps it together.
Okay. Your second question of the round is in music.
Music. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that I word this correctly. This is one that I wrote, but I just want to make sure that.
Grub is a guy who can't give no love to me. Get no love from me. Sorry.
Probably works both ways, though.
That song is on one of my playlists, like of 50 songs that I listen to all the time. It's on that list. So
okay.
That lyric was extremely familiar as soon as he started saying it.
Nice. All right. What song did Daryl Hall write for his girlfriend of 28 years?
I think I'm going to lock in. I am going to lock in. Let's say that.
The funny answer that comes to mind is rich girl. Because Larry's like, you're a girl, but you gone too far. But I don't think it's that. One that I would consider the most obvious choice would be Sarah Smile, because it's sweet and soft and romantic. But Sarah Smile was early. It was in the mid-early 80s, if I'm remembering correctly. And I don't feel like Daryl Hall was 50 years old at the time. I mean, I think he might have been 30. And so his girlfriend of 28 years has to mean that he was at least 45 or some odd. I mean, even if you allow for a young relationship, he had to have been 40. And I'm pretty sure he wasn't 40 when they were hitting it big in the early 80s.
So I feel compelled.
Saying they weren't going out when they were two?
I feel compelled to clarify the wording of the question.
Okay.
To say that he wrote it for his girlfriend and they were together for a total of 28 years.
Okay. In that case, I'm definitely going to go with Sarah Smile.
I did not want you to frame your answer around bad wording.
I was going to end up going with Sarah Smile anyway on the assumption I had misunderstood, because it's the most logical answer.
Gotcha.
The other one would have been Maneater, but once again, not good for a current girlfriend. It's only good for a breakup.
Yep.
So I say Sarah Smile.
Yep. I also went with Sarah Smile.
All right. The correct answer is... Oh, here she comes.
It is Maneater. No,
it's not Maneater.
You jerk.
I just thought that'd be funny.
Watch how boys shooting to you up.
Correct answer is Sarah Smile.
Oh, man. You freaked me out for a second there, dude. That was hilarious.
I just thought it'd be funny for you to write. You have a longtime girlfriend that's getting on your nerves, but you don't want to break up with her. Watch out, boy. All right. Your last question around is in the category, Ben's favorite category. I was told there would be no math.
Mm. Dan, are you good at math?
I'm middle of the road here. I sometimes pull these out of nowhere, and sometimes I just get a blank stare.
I'm below the road. I'm like the troll under the bridge when it comes to math.
The troll
what
under the bridge.
What is 3 + 6?
Red.
Don't ever answer a math question, Red.
The right answer was arithmetic.
All right. The equation pi times radius squared is most commonly used to calculate what geometric measurement?
I'm locked in.
Holy crap, I think I know this. I'm going circumference.
Okay.
You said pi times radius squared, correct?
Pi times radius squared.
Okay, yeah, that's the area of the circle.
Correct answer is the area of a circle.
Ugh.
Circumference is...
I thought I had it.
Circumference is 2 pi r.
All right, so here's
the... Are you kidding me?
Really?
Are you kidding me?
And I'm sure Ben can even attest to this right now, is I just sent... Yesterday, I sent Ben a set of questions. And
he did.
That question about the circumference of a circle was in that set.
It was.
So that's not going to show up now.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he's
pi
right.
R squared... versus 2 pi r. Oh my freaking God.
Now,
dude.
You know the difference between a circumference
I
and area.
I am hot and bothered right now. Holy crap. I mean, I had the number is in the equation, the letter is in the equation, and the symbol, they're all in the equation. I felt good about that answer.
I could tell.
I was excited, Dan.
That makes up for the sushi question in my mind, as far as
man. I am upset.
Was that, were you more upset at that than you were at the She Blinded Me with Science snafu from a few
No, that didn't bother me at all, because I would have been wrong. Oh, I just right. said science. Lee's the
well,
one
that
upset
bothered
about
me.
That.
I'm surprised you didn't hear me yelling from
the Oh. All right. Well, after the third round, tie game. It is 50-50 because of stupid area versus circumference.
Don't be blaming geometry.
Oh.
Don't blame the question.
I had the dumbest geometry teacher ever. And I mean this. I have no regret.
You might be a listener.
I am an older gentleman at this point in my life. So I respect a lot of teachers now that I didn't respect when I was young. Our geometry final was to draw a geometric shape.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. What grade was that?
I drew a circle and was afraid he might not give me credit. Wow. Because he wasn't smart enough to comprehend that a circle was a geometric shape because it didn't have any angles.
What grade was this?
Sophomore in high school.
He's a high school math teacher and didn't understand a circle?
He was just not a good teacher. Not a good teacher.
He was probably one of those guys where he wasn't a very good teacher, but they had to plug him in to teach something. And we were short on math teachers that year. It's like, oh, just go teach math.
Was he a coach? I don't know, man.
Probably.
I don't remember him being a coach. It was bad.
The bad teachers in my high school were all coaches.
Yeah. I get that. I totally get that.
Yeah, all the coaches in my school taught like driver's ed, health, all those really obscure electives.
Now, we had a coach, Coach Nelson, who taught calculus, and that dude was freaking smart.
Yeah,
that dude.
The coach in my school did the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Wow. He knew his stuff. So it's not all coaches that are kind of sliding like that.
It's funny because I'm Facebook friends with four of the teachers from my high school that really stood out. And it's funny because Ms. Cross taught math. She was my math teacher. Ms. Burnett was history. She taught me European history. Ms. Hester was English. And Ms. McElhaney was biology, science.
Wow.
And it's like those were the four teachers that were most iconic in me learning. And they all had different genres that they taught. But man, it's like when you look back, it's like you realize just how much of an impact these people have on your lives and how you learn and see the world.
Who was the European history teacher?
Mrs. Burnett.
If Miss Burnett listens to this show, is she disappointed in your lack of knowledge on European history?
Yeah, it's definitely not her fault. It's not her fault at all. It's just that was...
I'm sure Miss Cross is proud of you.
She's very proud.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do math for a living now. She's definitely proud of that.
Yep.
But in fact, I'm going to tag them all and say, I gave all y'all shout outs on this podcast. I need to make sure y'all listen to it.
There you go. Love it.
Okay. So your midpoint question, the category is... We still love you, Margaret Court.
Wow. Ben hasn't gotten over that yet.
I feel like I need to send her like a personal email apologizing. All right. So here's your question. Since 2010, all of the male singles Grand Slam tournament champions have come from only 5 countries. For 4 points each, name those countries.
Read it again, please.
Since 2010... Male singles Grand Slam tournament champions. So that would be the Australian Open, the U.S. Open, the French Open, and Wimbledon have come from only 5 countries. For 4 points each, name those countries.
Okay.
I'd have a better shot at naming the players than the countries. Like, there's a specific one who I know is the right answer. I don't know where he's from.
I got 4 of them, and I'm working on the 5th one. All right, I'm going to lock in.
All right.
With my 5.
The 3 guys that I think are a lock to have won a major since 2010 are Andy Murray from the UK, Roger Federer from Switzerland, and Novak Djokovic from wherever. I have no freaking idea where Novak Djokovic is from, but he's been completely dominant. And I don't pay a lot of attention to tennis, but I remember that Djokovic became dominant in the era here after Federer kind of fell off a little bit. There's another one too. Not Djokovic, Nadal, Rafael Nadal. I think he might be Spanish. So I'm going to say the UK. I'm going to say Switzerland. I'm going to say Spain. I don't think anybody from the US has been a top flight tennis player recently. I'm not aware of any Canadians. I'm not aware of any Chinese people.
You're not aware of any Chinese people? None? There's like a billion of them.
The worst joke today.
You racist.
Hey! I couldn't think of what else. I couldn't think of what else to say.
I don't know how that's racist.
FYI, if you can't think of a good comeback, you just say your mom. That's the default.
Your face.
Or your face.
Your face is racist. There
you go. I don't know how that could possibly be, but
no, but still, that would have been a good thing to say.
I'm there.
It doesn't have to make sense, Dan. It's just a comeback.
I'm with you, Ben. I'm with you. I'm going to guess Russia and the Ukraine. Those will be my other two guesses. So UK, Switzerland, Spain, Russia, and Ukraine.
All right.
I did say Spain for Nadal and Switzerland for Federer. I think Djokovic is from the Czech Republic.
Oy.
I think. I did say UK, and I threw the USA in there because I could not think of another country. So that was the fifth one. So I went Spain, UK, Czech Republic, Switzerland, and United States.
So the correct answers are United Kingdom, Switzerland, Spain, Croatia.
Oh, he's from Croatia.
And Djokovic is from Serbia.
Ooh, who's from Croatia?
Marin Cilic. He won one championship.
I'm not aware of him. So we both got three?
You both got three.
I'll take it. Good deal. I was afraid I was going to fall behind on the tennis question. I won't lie.
They always throw their flags up next to them. And like every country in the former Eastern Bloc has a red, white, and blue flag of some kind.
That's true. Yeah, it's my original writing of this question, because I wrote it then, but then I went back as far as 2004. And you only add two additional countries going all the way back to 2004.
What two countries would that have been?
Russia. I forget.
And the Ukraine?
No. And Argentina. You had Del Potro and one other guy.
Wow.
That won. America hasn't won men's singles since 2003, Andy Roddick.
So it's really interesting, Dan. We both would have gotten four if we were being asked for the players.
Right.
And not for the countries. That's really interesting. At least to me. Probably not to anybody else. They're all like, get on with it.
What four players would you have had?
We would have both said Djokovic, Nadal, Federer, and Murray.
Good point. Touche.
Touche.
Touche, mon frere.
It is 62-62 after the halftime. And before we move on to the second half, I want to talk to you a little bit about Loot Crate. Remember, you can head on over to lootcrate.com/TWA to look at some awesome subscription box service options. And I have double checked, and we do get credit if you go to lootcrate.com/TWA and then go to pick a crate and look at partner crates like J.K. Rowling's Wizarding World, Firefly, Halo, WWE. If you decide to choose one of those boxes, we will get credit for that as well. So make sure you head over there and check those out. I'm going to go ahead and look at Marvel today. The next Marvel box is going to be a Weapon X box. So it looks like a Wolverine focus here. The Marvel box is a every 2 months box. So if you want to sign up for a Weapon X box on the Marvel side, be sure to head over to lootcrate.com/TWA, pick a crate, and head over to Marvel Goods and Gear. All right, guys, let's get back to the show.
So your fourth round begins with a question in the category of history.
All right.
In 2014... and I'm going to butcher this name. In 2014, Malala Yousafzai became the youngest person in history to do what? So her name is Malala, M-A-L-A-L-A. Last name, Y-O-U-S-A-F-Z-A-I.
And she is the first person to do something?
She became the youngest person in history to do what?
To pronounce her own name. Wow. Honestly, I don't even begin to know where to go with this.
I'm with you. The fact that it's a history question is interesting. I started like thinking become a chess grandmaster or something like that, but it's not a sports or games. It's a history question. So,
yeah, when he said a history question in the year 2014, my first thought was, what? No?
Me too.
Said, what? Ugh. Did you say the gender of this person, Ben?
He said she. It wasn't in the question, but when he was describing the name.
It's a female.
Okay. I honestly don't even know what nationality that is.
I've got a guess has come to me. I'm going to lock in my guess.
All right.
Okay. Like I was saying, I don't even know what part of the world she's from. Her age? Anything like that. I mean, there's so many ways that this could go. Now, I'm going to make an off-the-wall guess here based on the fact that since the United States has dropped out of space exploration by quite a bit, I'm going to go with the fact that one of these other countries has picked it up and that she is the youngest person to have ever been in space.
All right. I was looking for a hook to hook onto, right? And I couldn't find one. And the fact that it's the youngest person to do something, like you thought, it means that other people had done it before. She's not the first person to do something. She's the youngest. And so that means I started looking for things that have happened to other people or been done to other people. And I ended up going with a religious side of things, and I guessed that she might be the youngest person to ever be sainted.
Ooh, that's a great answer.
It's a total guess.
All right. Malala Yousafzai is from Pakistan. She was born in 1997, and in 2014, she became the youngest person to ever receive a Nobel Prize.
Oh!
She won a Nobel Prize for Peace. She's an activist for women's education in Pakistan.
Wow. That's cool. Good for her. Wow.
Didn't even cross my mind.
But it's one of those things where, it's right in line with we both thought of things that were similar to that, I think.
Yep.
So,
yep. Absolutely.
That's reasonable. I didn't even remember her name. Malala Yousafzai. So that's a bear of a last name right there.
That's, yeah.
Did she win her prize by challenging warring parties to try and pronounce her name? And they got so stuck on it that they just put down their guns and spent the rest of their time thinking about how to pronounce it?
So it was a spelling strike instead of a hunger strike?
Exactly. I'm sorry. I shouldn't make jokes, but I am. That's incredibly impressive. Yes. for her. So that's awesome. So.
All right. So your next question's in a category of movies.
All right. Not and my specialty.
The next few questions we have here were brought to us by Lita George.
Oh boy.
Lita, the last time.
By the time you guys hear this episode, you will have known how hard the questions were on the last episode that Lee hosted with the Jeopardy guys. So I'm not feeling good about the fact that he wrote the next few questions.
These questions are gettable.
Mm-hmm.
You got Lee, his last one.
Lee knows I love him. Just playing.
Okay. In the movie The Usual Suspects, what character loses his limp in the twist ending of the film? And there are two possible answers. I will accept either.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to lock in. I think I got that one.
So, confession time. I've never seen The Usual Suspects.
Oh, my God. You are not my friend anymore.
I've heard that it is amazing. And
you're going to need to remedy that, like, right now.
I even DVR'd it once, but I never got around to watching it.
Oh, man. Such a great movie.
But I've heard through time and space that there's I don't think it's a character's name. I think it's like a something designed to throw somebody off the trail, perhaps. But there's like a question associated, like, who is Kaiser Soze? There's something like that in this film. Kaiser Soze is a name from this film. I don't think it's a character's name. I'm hoping that it might be like an alias of one of the characters, and that's why it's possible there's two answers. So I'm going to guess Kaiser Soze.
All right.
Well, Kaiser Soze. Well, I'm not going to. We don't want to ruin anything, do we? Are we way past the point of spoilers?
I'm pretty sure you're past the point of spoiler town at this point.
It's only 22-year-old movie.
Kaiser Soze is Kevin Spacey in this.
Okay.
He does play him.
So I named a character from the movie.
You did name a character from the movie.
Well, hey, I feel like a champion.
The one that loses his limp is Verbal, who is also Kevin Spacey because he is also Kaiser Soze. So, yeah, you got that one.
So too. I'm right?
Yes.
What?
Well, let's let Ben tell us if we're
right. The correct answer is I will accept either Verbal, Kent, or Kaiser Soze.
I'm going to request that all the Lita to George questions be gone now because that's the second one he's backed into.
Holy moly. Man, I'm speechless, except I use words to say it. Oh, my goodness. My.
Your last question of the round is in advertising. What advertising character has the first name Horatio, and according to legend, was born on an island in the Sea of Milk?
I'm locked in.
I'm locked in, too. I wish you hadn't added the second part. If you'd have just said what advertising character's name is Horatio, I would have gotten it. And I don't know. Dan, would you have gotten it just on that?
Yeah, I was writing it down after he said Horatio.
Yeah. His name is Horatio Magellan Crunch. Captain Crunch.
Captain Crunch is what I had to.
Correct answer is Captain Crunch.
Well, hey, we've finally started getting the same ones right together,
Dan. That's true.
It is now, after the fourth round, it is 82-82.
Tight game. All right. Your fifth round, first question. We're going to start the category with TV, okay?
All right.
This is a TV question. What competition reality TV show hosted by Anderson Cooper centered around the identification of an unknown saboteur?
I'm locked in.
We gotta write it down before you're locked in. I wrote it down.
I'm not showing it to you, but I wrote it down. I was writing it down as he was reading the question.
Wow.
I wrote it down on Anderson Cooper, actually.
I don't remember Anderson Cooper hosting the show that I'm thinking of. Read the plot of the show again.
Centered around the identification of an unknown saboteur.
That sounds like a show that I remember called The Mole. I don't remember Anderson Cooper being in it, but I'm going to guess The Mole.
All right.
Yep. That's it. It's The Mole.
Correct answer is...
I religiously watched that show when it was on. Religiously.
Correct answer is The Mole.
I'm pretty sure I watched the first season of it. I don't remember finishing the first season of it, but I watched a lot of it.
I don't think there was a second season.
Oh.
I don't think there was.
There was a second season. It didn't go over very well. Then there was a celebrity one, but Anderson Cooper, I don't think was anything really big when he was hosting it, which is why you probably don't remember that it was him.
In my opinion, Anderson Cooper's still nothing really big.
Well, unless you go to CNN headquarters, they've got a shrine built for him, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, his face is everywhere.
How big is the mole section of the shrine?
Well, it wasn't a CNN show, so I'm probably not there. All right. Your next question is in the category of Americana.
Okay.
All right.
Lollies, a fictional store in the Schoolhouse Rock universe, sells what?
I am locked in.
Oh, God, help me. Spell it.
Lollies, Lolly's.
You're locked in.
I'm locked in. So you can talk.
Thanks.
That's how this works.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I mean, the obvious answer would be lollipops, but that's way too obvious for it to be the right answer. So let me put that away and think about what kind of stuff they talked about on Schoolhouse Rocks and see if I can come up with something else that makes sense for lollies. She sold tickets to Lollapalooza.
That's it.
That's what it is, obviously. She actually was a founder along with Perry Farrell. It was originally going to be called Lollapalooza. Maybe it's a rhyming thing. Go down to Lolly's to buy some Molly.
Oh, knows.
No, yeah.
Yes, that is what it is.
Yeah, that's a great Schoolhouse Rock special.
Yeah, awesome. Absolutely.
That's more like an after-school special than a Schoolhouse Rock special.
She sells Salvador Dali paintings. I just ran through everything I could think of for rhymes, and I didn't come up with anything that makes sense. I don't think it's right, but I'm going to say lollipops.
All right.
If I remember correctly, I think the song went, lolly, 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 get your adverbs here. They sold adverbs.
Correct answer is adverbs.
Well, there was literally no way I was going to back into that one. No. Oh, lollies ends in L-Y.
Yep.
Well, that's depressing. That was a big question. All right.
Okay, so your last question in the round is in the category of music. So I'm going to give you some song lyrics, and I want you to name the song.
Okay. This is two lyric questions in one show, Dan. You're special.
Yeah, I just wrote four of them yesterday, too, so.
All right, so here's your lyrics. And you come to me on a summer breeze. Keep me warm in your love. Then you softly leave.
Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Darn. You can keep going if you want. That'd be
fine.
I'm
serious. There's nothing that rang a chord when you were doing that one. And you came to me?
And you came to me on a summer breeze. Keep me warm in your love. Then you softly leave.
You want the song or the artist?
I want the song.
Well, I got news for you, Ben. You're not getting it.
You can want all you want. Might as well go buy an adverb.
Yeah, where's Lolly?
I can't even get a hook on it. That's what I'm trying for, and I can't get it. I am ofer on these lyrics questions. Jonathan threw Nickelback at me last time, and I was...
It's not Nickelback. It's Chad well, Kroeger and Josie, Nickelback. Whatever.
But so you asked a Nickelback question?
That's no, like it was. Blasphemy. And a hero enough. Save us and not da 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 da. It's not Nickelback.
Yeah, it's not Nickelback. It's just as much not Nickelback as some of Phil Collins' music is not Genesis.
It's Spider Man. You're right. You're so right.
Oh, that's amazing.
When I was hosting trivia, I used to. Have a little question in there called, is this Phil Collins or Genesis?
Oh, that's
so mean.
It was just a little bone. It was like a 1 point bonus question. You had to name the artist that was playing during the time. I've got nothing on this. I'm going to lock in a very, very bad answer.
I feel like the clue is somewhere in the summer breeze part. It or the hook, I feel like, is in the summer breeze part. And stupid, summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing like the jasmine in my mind. That's in my head. And it's not that. Was it on a warm summer breeze or just on a summer breeze?
Nope. And you came to me on a summer breeze.
Can you sing it for me?
No.
Well, hey, you don't get anything in this world without asking, okay?
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
And sometimes you can trick people.
Except unsolicited.
Well, I don't know. I got like three or four bad questions that I didn't ask for, so.
You know I'm going to sing it after you both lock in. So
I know.
I was counting on it. Can't wait.
It's starting to sound more familiar as I'm looking at it and trying to work through it. It's starting to become familiar. And I don't know if it's because I'm recognizing it or I'm just staring at it and now I'm remembering seeing it from when I stared at it a minute ago. All right, I'm going to just throw out a super guess here because there's a little logic behind the guess. I'm going to guess, I might even be making this up. I think it's the name of a Mariah Carey song. I'm going to say Dream Lover, and I'm using logic because it's like the person comes in and then leaves, and it could be from a dream. And so I'm going with Dream Lover.
All right.
Yeah, Jonathan, funny thing you should say. I actually locked in with Summer Breeze by Seals and Croft because I could not come up with anything else. Nice.
All right. So here are the lyrics. And you came to me on a summer breeze. Keep me warm in your love, then you softly leave. And it's me you need to show. How deep is your love? How deep is your love? How deep is your love? Never heard it?
No, I'm aware of it, but I've never listened to it.
Oh, it's...
You could have sung right up to How Deep Is Your Love.
He could have sang How Deep Is Your Love, and I'd be like, is that the name of the song? Who is it?
It's
Marvin?
The Bee Gees.
Oh, that's the Bee Gees?
Yeah. Saturday Night Fever. It's one of their songs on the soundtrack. It was actually the ending song of the movie.
Never in 2 million years would I get that right.
Oh, I'm so disappointed. Bee Gees is my favorite band of all time.
You're lying.
They are. I'm my favorite band.
For real?
secular. I have
what's Christian, wrong with you?
I have Christian bands that I like, but non-gospel music, the Bee Gees are my favorite band.
Man.
Band. I have individual artists I like more than them.
I've lost some respect for Ben today, Dan.
Dude, whatever. That's some great music.
No, it's not.
It really is. No. People get turned off by the falsetto, but when you listen to the lyrics of those songs, that's some good music. That is.
I was just about to ask, did you have to do the falsetto? Thanks a lot for that, by the way.
I didn't do falsetto. Well, I kind of did.
Okay, so Dan, after round five, you took a lead with freaking lolly, 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 blah, blah, blobbies. It's 102-92, and Dan is in the lead. And now, if you get one more right than me, you're going to finish with exactly 20 more than I do, which is what I predicted at the beginning.
All right. Your sixth round begins with a category in communications.
Okay.
And this question comes to us from Tanya Boland.
I'd say so, Tanya. Tanya is from Wales.
Oh, thank you very much, Tanya.
Yes.
And what's the capital of Wales, Jonathan?
It is Cardiff.
There you go.
Hopefully this isn't a question about Cardiff or I just screwed the pooch.
Nope, it is not a question about Cardiff. All right, communications. In Morse code, which letter is represented by a single dot?
One of these days, I'm just going to go ahead and memorize Morse code because it comes up so often that I should just go ahead and do that.
I used to have a walkie-talkie set when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And the walkie-talkie part didn't work very well. But there was a button you could push that would send a beep through, and it had Morse code all on the handle. Like, you could see all the letters and the corresponding beeps or dashes. So I'm trying to remember that.
Okay, I locked in with an answer that's sure to be wrong and hilarious, I'm sure. But
did you choose something? It wasn't a letter?
Well, no, it's going to be
because that would have been hilarious.
Yeah, that would be. I did not do that. I wanted to have at least a shot.
Could have said, like, blue. Okay, so you're locked in. The most obvious possible answer and the first one that comes to mind is the letter A. And logic, I would think, would say that one dot would be A, two dot would be B, three dot would be C, and then you could move to one dot or one dash would be D. But you know that's not how it's laid out because SOS is dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, dot, dot. Or it might be the other way around, but either way, that means C is not the dot, dot, dot. That being said, I have no other logic to rely on, so I'm going to say A.
All right.
I was hoping that Morse code is based on letters that are used more often than others, and that a single dot would be an E. That's what I went with, an E.
All right. Correct answer is E.
Oh, no. Oh, is A two dots?
A is like a dot and four dashes or something like that. It's a lot, yeah.
Dan. Oh, Dan. I used to like you.
I still like me quite a bit, but thanks.
I like you,
Dan. I like Ben a whole lot more now, though.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's amazing how your popularity really rises and falls with each question. Okay. Your second question of the round is in the category geography. And this question comes from John L. So thank you very much, John L.
Do we not know John's last name?
He did not provide it.
All right.
Or is he from Krypton?
John L. Yes, John L.
He may be from Krypton. That's true.
Jor-El's cousin.
Yep. John L. Talk to your other cousin, Leroy. What Polynesian state and archipelago can have one of its letters removed to spell the name of an ancient Roman garment?
I'm locked in.
I'm going to say Tonga.
Yeah, that's what I went with too. Tonga.
Correct answer is Tonga.
Did you get that from the island part or did you work backwards from the Togo part?
I kind of worked from both ends and came to Tonga in the middle.
Yeah, me too. Oh boy.
All right. And your last question before the final question is in languages. And this is another question that comes to us from David Raffetto.
All right, so David.
Thank you, David.
Hopefully we're on the same wavelength.
All right. So the state of Texas, the two most commonly spoken languages, obviously, are English and Spanish. What is the third most commonly spoken language in Texas?
Whoa. Ugh. I've got the weakest logic to get here, but I've locked in an answer.
I've written down quite a few of them, and I'm all of them coming from different areas. It's right on the Gulf there. I would think that there might be some Acadian people, so either like French or Creole might have come in from there. I know that there's a fairly large Vietnamese population in Texas. I mean, then there's who's come to the United States lately, because, I mean, Texas is going to be a place that a lot of people settle. So you're going to get some like Cantonese or Mandarin Chinese there, or in like a Hindi. I think I am going to go with, I think I'm going to go with Vietnamese.
All right.
So I thought about Hindi, but I decided to go with a song lyric instead. There's a song called China Grove that has a lyric that says, though it's a part of the Lone Star State, people don't seem to care. They just keep looking to the east. So I know China Grove is a place in Texas, according to the Doobie Brothers. So I figured
everything the Doobie Brothers say is right.
So I figured if there was some Chinese community within Texas in the 70s when the Doobie Brothers were writing China Grove, perhaps that it has grown over time, and I went with Chinese.
All right. So the correct answer is Vietnamese.
Wow. Dan, I was wrong. You're not 20 points better than me. You're 30 points better than me.
Yeah. The next time I'm going to pull an answer out of my butt like that, I'm going to stand up.
It is 132 to 102 after regulation. Good job, Dan. You really separated at the end of that game there.
All right. The category for your gauntlet is famous Bens. I'm going to ask you three questions about people named Ben or Benjamin.
All right. I got my wager locked in.
I've got my wager locked in.
So here's your first question. This actor is well known for his portrayal of the title character in the 1982 film Gandhi.
I'm locked in on that one.
I am locked in on that one.
All right. Second question. This singer is the co-composer and performer of the song Stand By Me.
Locked in on that one?
No, I'm not locked in on that one. Right now, I think that was Percy Sledge. I'm trying to think of the song, who did it. And then I'm trying to think of Ben's or Benjamin's in that time period. And one has come to mind, but he's more of a dancer than a songwriter in my book, so I don't feel comfortable locking him in. Are all of the variations Ben or Benjamin?
They are all of these names are either Ben or Benjamin.
All right, I'm locked in. I'm locked in.
All right. So here's your third question. This pediatrician's book was the second best-selling book in the United States for over 50 years.
I'm locked in on that one, too.
I am, too.
All right.
So, we both have our answers locked in. Ben, why don't you read the questions again, and we will give our answers.
All right. This actor is well known for his portrayal of the title character in the 1982 film Gandhi.
I said Ben Kingsley.
I also said Ben Kingsley.
All right. This singer is the co-composer and performer of the song Stand By Me.
I said Benny King.
I also said Ben E. King.
All right. And this pediatrician's book was the second best-selling book in the United States for over 50 years.
I said Benjamin Spock.
I also said Benjamin Spock.
So we have the same answers. Yeah, the
same answers.
By the way,
come down to a wager.
I worked a long time to get to Benny King.
I had Ben Vereen written down for that whole time as a backup answer. I was like, Ben Vereen, I don't feel like he's a song guy. I need a song guy.
Yeah, when you said dancer, I thought, well, it's Ben Vereen written on that.
Okay, so we're either all right or all wrong.
Either all right or all wrong. So answer number one is Ben Kingsley. The answer number two is Ben E. King. So I'll accept both your answers. And number three was Dr. Benjamin Spock.
We are both correct. That's the first time.
Yeah.
The first time I've gotten a gauntlet right. And the first time that both people have gotten a gauntlet right.
Yep.
All right, Dan. You were in the lead. What did you wager?
I took into account you trying to just cover me. So I wagered 32.
32. So you, my friend, and that's not just covering you. You went for a, like a lot of times I will bet for 10 more than the other has or 15 more than the other person has. And you took that into account too. You have 164 after the final. And it sounds like you're not happy about this.
I don't know what to think. I really don't. I don't know where you were going to bet. So we'll okay. find out in just a second.
Well, I'm going to hold up my number for you. Ben, will you tell me what number is circled on this blue paper?
There's a lot of buildup here. I'm not liking this.
That number would be 100.
100. Final score. Jonathan, 202. I almost called him Ben.
Ben Dan Lundberg.
Dan Lundberg, 164. I pulled it out, baby. Woo! Oh, my gosh, man.
Very nice.
I am pumped.
That's the story of my life on these things is I take a lead into the final and can't quite get the betting right. It's the way I do it all the time. Mike Cameron will attest to that. I cannot get betting right to save my life.
For what it's worth, if you've been listening for – I know you've been listening – and you've been able to see that my betting has become very random over the last few games because I was getting too predictable. So there's no way to guess what I was going to do. I've even gone zero from behind in a game recently.
Wow.
So this one, I felt like there's a chance that I would know all of the bends that you knew. Not, let me say that differently. That all the bends that you would think of that were worthy of trivia question, I thought that I might be able to figure those out. And that's why I bet big.
Okay. Yeah. Writing this question, of course, it was a lot of fun. It's just famous bends. But a lot of them are softballs everybody knows. Benjamin Franklin, Benjamin Banneker. And there's just a lot of softballs. And when you start to dig, it's like, well, I can't ask anything too difficult because like that, okay, that guy's obscure. Where's the happy medium? And I had to switch a few things around. I was actually going to incorporate Ben Johnson originally, but I thought that was too much of a softball, so I took him out and put Spock in instead.
I thought you were going to give us a Benjamin Bratt.
I was thought about Benjamin it. Bratt. I was waiting for Benjamin Netanyahu.
Oh, I would have missed Netanyahu. I didn't know his first name.
Where was Netanyahu then?
I would have missed that. Well, no, if he'd have given clues around it, I might have pulled it out, but I didn't realize his first name was Benjamin.
Yeah, I thought I was going to throw you off with Spock, but apparently I didn't, so...
No, that's classic trivia right there. All right. Well, that was a good game, Dan. That was a really good game. And now I can leave happy. I'm so happy. Oh, my gosh. I'm so happy.
I'm not, because now Mike Cameron is 2-0, and I'm 1-1, and I'm going to never live that down.
Yeah, but Mike's never played against me, has he?
No, he hasn't, but you know, he's played twice and won twice. So.
That's true.
Stop hiding, Mike. Stop hiding.
Yeah, but one of those times you were on a team with him.
Well, yeah.
So you could
that
say
doesn't
that
count.
You could say that win was yours. He couldn't have won that without you. So no, you say
I wasn't,
he's
I
won.
Wasn't coming up with the X-Men question on that one. That's
okay. Dan, do you want to stick around with us while we read some reviews?
Absolutely, I would love to.
We have a new review by Cameron. Yep, just Cameron. That's his name. Love that. And he says, "What a find! 5 stars." 6 months ago, while waiting to board a plane, I searched for trivia podcasts in hopes to find solid listening material for a long flight. This podcast is the jackpot. I listened throughout the flight, the subsequent 1.5-hour drive, and subscribed almost immediately. I eventually tried a few others, but none of them compare. Give it a shot, and you will almost certainly be satisfied. That was by Cameron. Yup, just Cameron.
Thank you, Cameron. Yup, just Cameron.
We appreciate you, Cameron. Yup, just Cameron. Okay, we also have...
Cameron, go.
What might be my favorite username.
Okay.
We have a review by the friggin' man. That's right. The friggin' man.
The friggin' man.
Took a time out of his day to give us a review, and I appreciate that.
It's better be a good friggin' review.
He says the title of it's outstanding. Now I can play pub trivia without my sucky teammate. That's the title of the review by the friggin' man.
Oh, my God.
I love this guy.
And this one was me.
This guy's awesome. He says, love this show. Great format, great production value, outstanding questions worded such that they provide multiple paths to recall or logical answer. The best part is how they explain their decision-making process while answering the questions. It shows how a great trivia mind works, or Jonathan's trivia mind. Let's not go too far. And highly recommend. That awesome. Is by the friggin' man.
Wow.
And I can vouch for him.
If I had to make a list of top five people I wanted to have a beer with, he would be number one on that list.
Well, that's because he's the friggin' man.
He's the friggin' man. Yeah. Who wouldn't want to have a beer with him?
I mean it. Seriously. The last review of the day is by Bio and Yoga Teacher and LMT. That's the username.
Wow.
And it's
Overachiever.
Great evolution. I have listened several times to this podcast from show one to the current episode. I am currently doing that, by the way, because on the lead up to show number 100, we weren't allowed to listen to the older episodes. And so for 3 months now, I haven't listened to any of the older episodes. And now that I have that much separation from them, I'm going back all the way to number one now and moving forward. So I can totally get what she's saying here. So she listened from show one to the current episode. She almost always looks forward to the new posting. The show has changed and evolved into a better show that was just Chris and Jonathan to the additions of Carmella and Ben to teams, tournament, though I hardly ever know the answers. I really enjoy trying and failing again and again, which another key point, you don't have to love trivia to love the show.
That's true.
We should be entertaining enough. I love and wish there were more questions on the human body and on science.
Science. Well,
it took long enough.
Sorry.
Good Lord.
Sorry.
And biology.
I mouthed it.
And biology and not so much space. Sorry, Carmella. Truthfully, Carmella is one reason why we have a lot of space. Chris is a reason we don't have a lot of body questions. Chris, gotcha. It's a guaranteed zero.
Well, I thought you were going to say it was because he giggled like a schoolgirl.
No. I was listening to one of the, like, episode two or three, and the midpoint was to give me the common names for the clavicle, the scapula, the patella, and the humerus. And he is just making up names for bones. It was like nah, okay, we're not doing that again.
Okay.
He did his best, though. Sorry, I'm still reading her review. I love the variety of categories and the varying difficulty of the questions. I particularly like questions with small hints in them. Even though I'm not getting any better at trivia, I absolutely love trivia and this show. You've come a long way, and I look forward to the continued evolution of the show to see what new species of trivial warfare will develop. Spoken very much like a bio teacher.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Evolution in there.
We'll take note of that. We'll try to get some more biology questions in there. And
that's a good point, actually. We have very few.
Yeah, we'll try to do that. Also, the thing she pointed out, she's not very good at trivia, but she loves trivia. I think that's something that people don't understand. Like me personally, I'm not a good trivia player at all. People assume that I am because I'm on the show, but I'm not a good trivia player solo. That's why I've never played solo, because I would get crushed, destroyed. But I love trivia. I love attending. You know, I love being part of the environment. And obviously, I love being a part of this show. So, yeah, you don't have to love trivia to love the show. We're very entertaining. So, I think we are.
Right on the money. So, that was an awesome review by Bio and Yoga Teacher and LMT. And we appreciate you. Thank you so much. All right. And we have some promotions to announce in the TWA today. The first up is a new major, Shara Hinkle. Shara, I think you're pronounced Shara. You might be Shara, but I'm betting it's Shara. Shara is a new major. Thank you so much for joining us, Shara. We appreciate your support. And we also have a new private
Roy Levy. Roy, welcome aboard, man. We really love having you here. If you're interested in getting a promotion and supporting the show, head on over to patreon.com/TWA. All right, guys, let's go ahead and wrap this up. Dan, before we go, is there anything that you would like to promote or anything that you want to share with people?
I don't really have a lot going on right now. I'm existing. I abide.
The Dan abides.
The Dan abides. He abides. I take comfort in that.
All right. Well, so Ben.
Yes.
How can people get a hold of you if they want to send you questions or get to know you better?
So if you want to reach out to me or send me questions, you can send them to twaliterature@gmail.com. And I want to just say a huge thanks to all who sent questions in. As you see, I got a lot of assistance from all of you today. So keep those questions coming. Thank you very much.
That was awesome. If you want to send questions to Carmella, she is at twafirstlady@gmail.com. Chris is at warmitupchris@yahoo.com. And I, of course, am at trivialwarfare@gmail.com. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up for today. I am Jonathan. That is Ben. That is Dan. And this has been Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Bye, guys.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Trivial Warfare. To learn more about the show and become a warhead yourself, visit TrivialWarfare.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or in any other good podcast app. And find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Trivial Warfare. This episode edited and produced by me, Joel Sharpton. Find help with your podcast at joelsharpton.com.
Fifth round. Your fifth round. First question.
I just can't talk.
Or the me. Fifth ground question.
Your fifth ground question was brought by a Christian.
Who was warm.